Brethren, for the first time in my life in the Church of God, and I, in my life in this Church of God started when I was 6 years old. I came into the church, and I've heard many sermons, I've read many booklets, and learned a lot about the beast power, the false prophet. For the first time in my life now, I can begin to see the atmosphere in Europe for that beast power to form. For the very first time in my life, I've been looking for a long time, but for the first time I see the possibility of that beginning to happen. When Mr. Putin was pushing on Ukraine, it caused Europe to begin to militarize. They want to defend themselves now, they claim. We've been taught for many years about this charismatic leader of the political aspect of this beast empire that would come on the world scene. The beast power will be a new powerful government formed at the end time. It's not been revealed yet. It's going to form from between now and Jesus Christ's return. At the same time, we've been taught about the false prophet, a second human being. One would lead the political aspect of it. The second human being would be in the religious arena. And we've always often called him the false prophet. And his role, brethren, as we read through some of the things today, is to deceive people. You're going to see the word deceive, deceive, deceive. That's not a good adjective in God's arena. This false prophet will deceive people to follow this empire, to follow this beast power, even push people to worship this government and this empire. We can read in Revelation 20 about the end to these two human beings, the leader of the empire, the political aspect, as well as the false prophet. We can read in Revelation 20 that these two human beings will be cast into the lake of fire. At the end, God will demise of what they have done. We hear of different people speculating all kinds of things regarding these prophecies. If you've been around the Church of God for very long, you've heard every angle, every time period, when it's going to be, who it's going to be, and the whole nine yards. It would take many sermons even to explain all of the background regarding this beast power. We do know that millions of people all over the globe is going to be caught up in a frenzy to be part of this beast power. They will worship this government. They will worship this empire. It's going to be a frenzy. It's going to be everyone throughout this country, no doubt, as well as the world. You might be asking yourself, where am I heading with this? Well, I'm going to put you at ease right now because I'm not going to speculate. I'm not going to name dates. I'm not going to name people. I simply want to read scriptures from the Bible, instructions that God gives to us, warnings that God gives to us so that we are prepared. I believe there's a place of safety. I hope all of us are there. But there will be people, God's people, that will be on the earth during that time. As we read the Bible, there will be tremendous deception that is related to the beast power, more so than we have ever witnessed in our lives. God's true church members that will be present then will be tested by this great deception. It is important for us to understand what God is telling us from the Bible, his instructions, his warnings. Why? So that we are not deceived. They are going to have a deception going on that is extremely powerful. But what we want to make sure is we're reading and understanding God's instructions and warnings so that we will not be deceived. I want to read these scriptures from God so that we won't be deceived. And on the contrary, we're going to be expecting it. We're going to be looking for this to occur. if we're looking for it to occur and expecting it to occur when it comes, there's a lot better chance that you will not be deceived. So today I would like to focus our attention not on the beast power, as far as the political empire, the government that is there, but I'd like to bring our attention today in this sermon on the false prophet, the religious leader that will be used to deceive people, to be pushing people to worship the beast. This false prophet will have the heavy influence of Satan the devil. Both of these individuals, both the charismatic political leader of the government as well as the false prophet, it says, get their authority from Satan. Satan is the one that gives them the authority and the power to do what they do. This false prophet will be performing miracles that will be extremely impressive. They will be real. They're going to be miracles. It's going to be extremely impressive. In Matthew 24 and verse 24, it says, for false Christs and false prophets will arise and show great signs and wonders, great miracles, so as to deceive, if possible, even the elect. So their whole motive is to deceive, but then God says, if possible, even us. If we're not paying attention, we're not reading his instructions, we're not heeding his warnings and looking for this to come on the scene. It's important for us to be expecting these things to occur yet in our future. That way we will not be deceived. We're expecting them. We're watching for them to come. If you'd like a title for this sermon, the title is simply this, Warning About the False Prophet. Warning About the False Prophet. God has given us instructions. He's given us warnings. He's given us many prophecies in the Bible about the end time, about this end time right before Jesus Christ's return. We know the world will come to the brink of human annihilation before Christ's return. He's going to cut time short. If he didn't, we destroy ourselves. Simple as that. Let's go to Matthew 24. I quoted one verse a little bit ago. I'd like to read some scriptures here. This is Jesus Christ talking to a few disciples. Here we're going to see how God describes this end time. Let's read about it. Matthew 24, and let's read here in verse 21. It says, for then there will be great tribulation, such as has not been since the beginning of the world until this time, no, nor ever shall be. So between now and Jesus Christ's return, God tells us, there's going to be a time period of great tribulation that has never been before. And we could go back through history to look at all of the wars, all the killings, all of the bad times. Nothing will be compared to what the great tribulation will bring. It's nothing compared in the past, nothing now, nor ever shall be in the future, God says. Verse 22, and unless those days were shortened, no flesh should be saved. Why? Because people will kill themselves, whether it's nuclear weapons or whatever. God will cut it short. Unless those days were shortened, God will cut those days short. No flesh would be saved, but for the elect's sake, for your sake, for my sake, for those brethren that will be present on the ground at that time, for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. It's a promise from God. Verse 23, then if anyone says to you, look, here is the Christ, or there, do not believe it. I want you to remember this verse, along with one that I'm about to read here shortly, as we begin to see the description of this false prophet. He's going to say that he is God. He sits in the temple of God as God. Is this being, this human being, going to say that he's Jesus Christ returned? We don't know. Great deception is going to be present. Verse 23 says, "Then if anyone says to you, 'Look, here is the Christ,' or 'There,' do not believe it. For false Christs and false prophets will arise and show great signs and wonders so as to deceive, if possible, even the elect. See, I have told you beforehand. Therefore, if they say to you, 'Look, he is in the desert,' do not go out. Or, 'Look, he is in the inner rooms,' do not believe it. For as the lightning comes from the east and flashes to the west, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be." So we begin to see a warning that there will be those to say, "Look, there's Christ," or "There, here's Christ." He says, "Don't believe it." Here we read that the world will destroy itself unless God cuts it short. Some will ask, as we read about this great tribulation, I've heard people say this, why would God allow such horrible time of the great tribulation to occur at this end time? Why would he allow that to occur to human beings? Well, number one, we must never ever doubt God's plan, but we know what causes this. It's because of sin. Sin is the breaking of God's law, breaking of God's instruction, breaking of God's way of life. Sin does the opposite of God's way. Sin is the cause of all suffering, death, and destruction. Brethren, sin is going to be the cause and the purpose and the reason why this great tribulation is going to occur. God has given us information on these future events. What I'd like to do right now is go to read scriptures about four different names that this false prophet takes on, that the church has taught throughout time, and I've proven to be so as well. The first name that this false prophet is called is the false prophet. So let's go to Revelation chapter 16, and let's just begin to read scriptures relating to this individual and see what he does, see what God says about him, how he gives us instructions and warnings. Here we're going to see John talk about the dragon, which is Satan, the beast, and the false prophet, the leader of the beast power and the false prophet together. Revelation 16, beginning in verse 13. It says, "And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs coming out of the mouth of the dragon," Satan, "out of the mouth of the beast," that leader of the political beast power, that empire, "and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are spirits of demons performing signs which go out to the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of the great God Almighty." Here John introduces this individual name as the false prophet. With that in mind, let's go over to Revelation 19 now. Here we're going to see where John is describing the beast and the false prophet once again. Revelation 19. And let's just read verse 20, one verse here. It says, "And the beast was captured, and with him," with this human being, "the false prophet, who works signs in his presence. So we see here, there's two human beings talked about. One, the charismatic leader in charge of the political government aspect, that here he's calling the beast. He was captured. And with him, these two human beings are together. They're always together, or most of the time together. The beast was captured, and with him, the false prophet. And catch the description here. This false prophet who worked signs in his presence. He worked miracles in this beast individual, the leader of the beast, in his presence, by which, catch this, by which the false prophet deceived those who received the mark of the beast and those who worshiped his image. These two were cast alive into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone. There's a lot said there in that one verse, and some of that will come more alive as we read other places. But I want to point out here, he is there to deceive. He deceived those who received the mark of the beast. He's pushing people to take the mark of the beast. We're going to read that in a different location. And those who worshiped his image. We're also going to read he's pushing people to worship the empire, worship the other beast leader, or both. These two were cast alive in the lake of fire. The false prophet here worked miracles in the sight of the beast. They're working together. The purpose of these miracles, it says here, were to deceive those who received the mark. You're going to see deceive, deceive, deceive. It's opposite of God. He's deceiving people to look a different way. This false prophet is together and working with the beast. So we see here where John introduces him as the false prophet. Let's look at a second name that is used, and that is Antichrist. John is the only one that uses the name Antichrist or Antichrists. He uses Antichrist more in a general sense as false teachers, but in one verse, he used Antichrist singular. This Greek word for Antichrist means the adversary of the Messiah. He's opposite of Christ. He's against Christ. In general use, this name describes anything that is against Christ. At the end time, there will be an individual who will deceive people before Christ's return. He's going to be teaching contrary to God's truth. Keep that in mind. He will be teaching opposite of God's truth. We're going to be able to tell the difference. Now, let's go back to Matthew chapter 24. And except this time, let's go back to the beginning, toward the beginning of the chapter. Here we're going to see many false teachers will come, but this is not talking about a specific person. I'd like to read this out of Jesus Christ's mouth, talking about, in a general sense, these many false teachers. If it was John, he might describe it as many antichrists, in a general sense, as false teaching, not narrowing down to one individual yet. Let's read here in Matthew 24, in verse 3. It says, "Now as he, Jesus Christ, sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately." If you go to Mark's account, you'll know that there's four disciples that came to him. Peter, James, John, and Andrew. Private conversation. Just those four came to him asking these questions. He sat on the Mount of Olives. The disciples came to him privately saying, "Tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age?" What do you think is the first thing that Jesus Christ said to them? Deception. Let's read it. Verse 4. And Jesus answered and said to them, take heed or beware. Listen to this warning. Take heed that no one deceives you. Very important for us to read this and take it to heart to make sure no one deceives us. Verse 5. For many, in a general sense, many false teachers, for many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. This is talking more in a general sense. Here Jesus warns of many people falsely representing himself, falsely representing Jesus Christ. You could conclude, in other words, if John was describing this, that there would be many antichrists saying these things to lead people astray. These verses are talking about false teachers and antichrist more in a general sense. Now let's go to the one verse that John talks about a singular human being. Let's go to 1 John chapter 2. Here we're going to see where John talked about a specific person. 1 John chapter 2, and we're going to read here in verse 18. It says, little children, it is the last hour. And as you have heard that the Antichrist, singular, is coming, yet in the future, even now many Antichrists have come, by which we know that it is the last hour. So here John talks about this individual that is singular, Antichrist, that he said he taught them about. Even though that those are in the, that he was in the future, even though many antichrists in general sense had already come, he claims here. Here John talks about this specific antichrist that would come at the end. John is the only writer who uses this word, the only one. This verse is the only one referring to an individual, right here. Okay, the third name that I like to call the false prophet or this religious guy that is with the beast is called the second beast. Let's read about that in Revelation 13. He's actually called another beast because in the beginning of the chapter, chapter 13, that first beast is described. Verses 1 through 10, the first beast, that political leader, that charismatic leader of the empire, is described along with the empire. But then in verse 11, I'd like to begin in verse 11 here, and it says, then I saw another beast, a second beast, a different individual being described. These guys are together. Then I saw another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb. He imitated like a lamb, like representing Jesus Christ, and spoke like a dragon. He imitated himself as if he was a representative of Christ, or he was Christ possibly. But he spoke like a dragon, because the dragon is the one that gave him the authority and the power. Verse 12, and he exercises all the authority of the first beast in his presence. They were together. And he exercises all the authority of the first one in his presence and causes the earth, this false prophet, this second beast causes the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the first beast, to worship that leader, to worship the empire. He wasn't pointing people to God. He was pointing people to this government. and this leader whose deadly wound was healed. And that has to do with the beast power, with this deadly wound heal, with the revival of the Holy Roman Empire and such. Like I said, it would take many, many sermons to describe that aspect. Verse 13, this false prophet or this second beast, he performs great signs, great miracles. Why? Why are the miracles done to begin with? He performs great signs and miracles so that he even makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. So all human beings are going to be able to witness this. Verse 14, and he deceives those who dwell on the earth by those signs and miracles which he was granted to do in the sight of the beast. Both these guys are together, but the false prophet was being used to give miracles, to deceive. I'm going to plant that in all your guys' head, deceive, because we don't want to be there. And he deceives those who dwell on the earth by those signs which he was granted to do in the sight of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image to the beast who was wounded by the sword and lived. He's going to be using his religious power, his influence, to push people to make an image of this empire. And even the people, these two guys possibly, worship this. He doesn't say worship God. You need to turn to God. No, he's worshiping what's occurring now. Verse 15. He was granted power to give breath to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast to be killed. You talk about the ultimate peer pressure that's going to be occurring at that time. He's going to be pushing people to take this mark of the beast, to worship this government and this entity. If not, they're going to be killed. Verse 16, and he causes all people, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or on their foreheads. This false prophet, this second beast, this antichrist, is being used in this manner. And that no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark or the name of the beast, or the name, or the number of his name. So we see here that this other beast, or this second beast, was together with the first. He did a lot of them in the sight of the first beast. But he imitated Jesus Christ, it says. But he spoke as Satan. Can you imagine the arrogancy? If he spoke as Satan, can you imagine the arrogancy, the pride that will be oozing out of this individual? He exercises all the authority of the first beast, it says, and causes the earth to worship the first beast. They're working together. This second beast will deceive many people by great signs that he will perform. In verse 13, it says that he will bring fire down from heaven in the sight of people. It's going to be very impressive. It's going to be real. They're going to be real miracles. This second beast will point people to the beast's power, describing the first beast. He will teach people to receive a mark. Without this mark, the people will not be able to buy and sell. A lot of pressure is going to be going on at this time. Brethren, people's political and religious freedom are going to be taken away, and the people will be deceived into thinking they are worshiping God. Can you imagine the deception that is going on? People who are deceived do not know they are deceived. Anyone that is deceived does not know they are deceived. They think they are right. This will be a display of Satan's most powerful deception on mankind. Brethren, we must be expecting these things to happen in the future so that we will not be deceived. The fourth name that this false prophet, this Antichrist, this second beast is called is the man of sin. Let's go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. A lot of more detail is here. Here Paul introduces this individual with this name, man of sin. Here Paul was addressing some brethren at that time who were confused. There were some saying, no doubt, that Christ had returned. Christ was present. And I want you to take note how the Apostle Paul gave instructions here. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. It says, now, brethren, this is Paul speaking, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him, we ask you not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled, either by a demon or by word, what somebody is saying, or by letter, something that is written, as if it's from us, as though the day of Christ had come. He's saying, don't be shaken when you hear these things. Don't be deceived. Verse 3, let no one deceive you by any means, for that day of Jesus Christ's return will not come unless two things occur, he says. The falling away comes first. The falling away means a departure of the truth. And if this is talking about a general sense of departure of the truth, Jesus Christ had delivered the truth some 20 to 21 years before this time. The truth was delivered by Jesus Christ himself. Truth began to depart from then. Wow, we're seeing it so rapidly depart from our country today. What it actually means with this falling away or departure of the truth, to what extent that it has to occur in the manner that it is occurring, I think it's already happened and happening as we live today. But the second thing, this man of sin is revealed. This human being must be revealed before Jesus Christ returns. Brethren, this false prophet has not been revealed yet. The beast power has not been revealed yet. It's going to be occurring from now till Jesus Christ's return in between. But Paul's telling them, don't be deceived by someone telling you Christ has already come. It's not going to happen until these two things occur. This man of sin is revealed. He's the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Man, that makes like shivers go up my spine. I don't know about you guys. But is this guy going to come on the scene saying Christ has returned? You know, he's going to be in Jerusalem on Mount Sinai Mount of Olives. Is he going to be there? I've arrived. I don't know. It says he opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God. Satan is behind this guy. What has Satan wanted his entire life? to be God, to be worshiped, to be above God, and all that is called God. Satan's going to be behind these guys, especially this false prophet. I mean, it says he opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshiped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things? Paul says. Remember, they were being deceived up here. Someone was saying that Christ had already returned. He says, don't you remember I've taught you all of these things, these instructions from God I've taught you. Verse 6, and now you know what is restrained, that he may be revealed in his own time. And he's yet to be revealed, yet, in our lifetime. Verse 7, for the mystery or the hidden truth of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. And then, at a given point yet in our future, the lawless one will be revealed, whom the eternal will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. We've already read, they're going to die in the lake of fire. They're not God's representative. They're false prophet. He's anti-Christ. He's a man of sin. Look at all the descriptions of this individual. Verse 9, the coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan with all power, signs, and lying wonders. What's it mean when it's being described that this individual is going to have the working of Satan with all power, heavily influenced by Satan, if not possessed, but heavily influenced with miracles and lying wonders, it says. These lying wonders are going to deceive. Verse 10, and with all unrighteousness, all unrighteous deception among those who perish. Those who are deceived will perish, it says. Brethren, this was written approximately 52 or 53 AD. A little over 20 years from the time Jesus Christ walked the earth. Paul was addressing some brethren that were shaken by what they were witnessing with their own eyes. What someone was telling them. The truth that was delivered by Christ was being attacked. Even in Galatians 1, chapter 1, verse 6, Paul talked about how quick another false gospel was coming on the scene. False gospel starting back then, and it's filled the world ever since. Deception from a general sense. Paul gives them instructions so that they aren't deceived. We're given these instructions so we won't be deceived. Some were saying that Christ was returning then. Is this individual coming on the world scene going to say that he is Christ? I don't know. Paul said that Christ would not return until these two things occurred. A departure of the truth and the revealing of this individual, this man of sin, this false prophet, this anti-Christ. This man of sin will exalt himself above anything connected with God. He will sit as God in the temple of God. We know that the sacrifices will have to stop. Well, we know if they have to stop, they have to begin at some point. Well, where is that done? Jerusalem. It's where the temple would be. Is it going to be a real temple? Sitting in that temple? Don't know. But verse 4 clearly says that he will show himself that he is God. When it is time, according to God's plan, this man will be revealed. The beast power will come on the scene. There's going to be a charismatic leader of the political empire, as well as this religious leader. Verse 9 says this man is connected heavily with the working of Satan. Satan will give him all power to make the miracles and the lying wonders. Can you imagine how real of a time that's going to be? How deceptive of a time that's going to be? Brethren, these miracles will be extremely convincing. Once we depart from one truth of God, it's very easy to depart from another, and then another, and then another. And before long, we're way out in left field. Okay, so why am I spending time reading about these four names of this false prophet? Why am I bringing focus to Satan's false prophet? Because God is giving us instructions. God is giving us warnings so that we will not be deceived when these individuals come on the world scene. Rather, we're expecting it to occur. We're looking for them to come on the world scene. In order not to be deceived, we must be expecting it. We must be expecting to see miracles performed, unbelievable miracles, the tremendous peer pressure that would be occurring at that time. We must be telling ourselves that these miracles will be extremely convincing, expecting it. We must love God's instructions so deeply that we will not be deceived. Okay, we stopped reading in verse 10, talking about those who perish because they were deceived. Okay, so what saves an individual? What protects an individual? Let's read verse 10 again. And with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, those who are perish are deceived. Why? Because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. Brethren, this is God's truth. He's giving us instructions. He's giving us warnings. Do we believe it? Do we trust God? Do we love what God is doing with us? Verse 11, and for this reason God will send them strong delusion, that they should believe the lie, that they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. People will be deceived if they do not have a deep love for God and God's truth. That's what it says. We must have faith in God's instruction. We must have faith that these warnings and these instructions are true. They're there to help us, not hurt us. We constantly hear people teaching their own ideas that create doubt in what we have learned to be the truth. Are we going to doubt, or are we going to love God with all of our heart and with all of our being? We constantly will be bombarded with false teachings. Brethren, all of us, many of us sitting in this room, have gone through many battle scars in the Church of God. Many false teachers we've had to face up till now, and many more to come. We're constantly bombarded by it. God says here, if we have a deep love for God's truth and hold fast to it, then we will be saved. We need to realize that the miracles aren't necessarily a proof of God's approval. The miracles are going to be real, but that's not a guarantee that they have the approval of God. Long ago, God explained that if a prophet arises among you and performs a sign or a wonder, performs a miracle, but he teaches contrary to God's law, then we should ignore his words, ignore those words of that prophet. Let's go to Deuteronomy 13. Let's read it. Except this time, I'm going to ask you to place what he's telling us here about the false prophet. We've already described he's false. He's Antichrist. He's not teaching God. He's not pointing people to God. He's pointing people to worship this empire or these individuals. Let's read in Deuteronomy 13, beginning in verse 1. It says, if there arises among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and he gives you a sign or a wonder, he gives you a miracle, and the sign or the miracle or the wonder comes to pass. So it happens. It's real. Of which he spoke to you, saying, let us go after other gods, which you have not known, and let us serve them. Brethren, we've read enough scriptures today to know that the false prophet was pushing the people to worship something other than God. So when that occurs, what is God's instruction to us? Let's read it here in verse 3. God says, you shall not listen to the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams, for the Eternal, your God, is testing you to know whether you love the Eternal, your God, with all your heart and with all your soul. Hearken back to 2 Thessalonians 2. What saved the people? The love of the truth. Here God says, the Lord your God is testing you to know whether you love the Eternal, your God, with all your heart and with all your soul. Verse 4, you shall walk after the Eternal your God and fear him, deeply respect him, and keep his commandments and obey his voice, and you shall serve him and hold fast to him. But that prophet or that dreamer of dreams shall be put to death. And we know he's going to be put to death in the lake of fire. He's going to be put to death because he has spoken in order to turn you away from the Eternal, your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt and redeemed you from the house of bondage to entice you from the way in which the Eternal, your God, commanded you to walk. So you shall put away the evil from your midst. Brethren, God is warning us about a false prophet that is yet to be revealed in our future. It's going to be a tremendous test for God's brethren that would be walking the face of the earth during that time. God wants to know how much we love him. How much do you love him? How much do I love him? Are we willing to stand strong and follow God? He wants us to know, if we will hold fast to his truth all the way to the end. We must always remember that Satan will be giving this false prophet the power to work his lying wonders. He will be lying in a way that is extremely convincing if you're not expecting it. Let's summarize what this false prophet does. Let's just summarize some of the things. Let's be expecting these things to occur. The false prophet will come on the scene just before Jesus Christ's return, between now and Jesus Christ's return. The false prophet will most likely be extremely arrogant since he's taking the place of God, maybe even calling himself God. He will be heavily controlled by Satan the devil himself. He will be performing miracles that will be shown worldwide, no doubt on TV, live, 24 hours a day. He will be able to lie in a way that will be very smooth and convincing. He will have many millions of religious people following his every word. Can you imagine all the different types of religion? Is he going to pull them all together? All the Christian religions? Is he going to pull them together? He will mislead people with an unrighteous and ungodly manner. Brethren, would it surprise you if he tells you to just put down your Bibles? I'm here. All you have to do is listen to me now. I'm here with you. Would that surprise us? He will try to pull you away from the promise of God in any manner that he could. He will be convincing you to put your trust in him instead of the great God. The false prophet and that beast leader is going to die in the lake of fire. We know their end. Brethren, with all of this that has been said, this is an important warning for all of us. It is vitally important that we remain grounded in God's instructions, not doubt what he has taught us. We must resist listening to people that try to create doubt in God's truth. We must ask God to help us stand firm with him all the way to the end. Why is God warning us? So that we will not be deceived and be with him for all eternity. He loves us. He wants us to love him. I'd like to close by just quoting one scripture in Revelation. Revelation 3, verse 11. It says, "I am coming quickly," Jesus says. "Hold fast what you have, that no one take your crown." Mm-hmm.